Today's message is the 10th and the last message of the Way of the Cross series. 7 core practices, our strategy for the way of the cross. In a way, this is our application of the 9 messages that we've been talking about. How do we choose the way of the cross as ours, as our way? So let me begin with a little bit of review. Our vision statement is be Christ's transforming community that impacts ourselves, our neighbors, and our world for the glory of God and His kingdom. So notice that our vision is more about being. Of course, part of the doing becomes being, continually doing, that becomes your character. But the essence of our vision is what Christ desires for us, what God had in mind in the original design of the church, the people of God. It is to be transforming community that has twofold direction. One is that we are being transformed and we are being God's holy people, sanctified people, but also we continually reach out and it impacts the world, the global world. Now we'll talk about the convergence of it in a bit. But as a review, here are 10 messages so far. First one was more of an introduction, why choose the way of the cross. The way of the cross is Jesus' way, and Jesus' way is paradoxical in many senses, and it is really to die to self, to choose suffering and crucifixion in order to really live. And the Christian life, in essence, is that. Christian life is not asserting your rights. It's surrendering, giving up your rights. And the true victory, spiritual victory, in our relationships, even in the world, happens when we submit to God humbly and embrace our brokenness and let God use us for His glory. That meekness, that brokenness is the way of the cross. To die in order to really live in Christ. Our vision was the two things converging together. The way of the cross is converging together in being sanctified at the same time reaching out to the world. And that community has 3 distinctive qualities. One is saltiness, the quality of the cross, which means that we are to retain radical difference from the world. And we also talked about being radically different from mainstream church culture, which were infiltrated by the mainstream secular worldly culture. Second aspect of quality of the transforming community is congruence. It is the integrity of the way of the cross. And then third is a counterculture, the mindset of the way of the cross. And 4 core values were scripture guidance, which is the authority of the way of the cross. And the second is spirit dependence of the power of the way of the cross. And third is real transformation, which is the fruit of the way of the cross. And 4th core value of Crossways, authentic community, the love of the way of the cross. Today, 7 core practices is our strategy for the way of the cross. What does that mean? The way that we structure our church, we design, is not necessarily the only way. But it is our earnest best attempt to create the context, a conducive, transforming culture for the way of the cross, which is also radically different. So if you are relatively new, you will actually hear this thing for the first time, and you get to hear why we're doing what we're doing. The seven core practices, basically, the seven things we want to continually practice to embrace the way of the cross. Before we name those seven, let's talk about why these seven are important in living out Crossway vision. Number one, because it is our way of life to seek God-centeredness in all things as we do, in all things we do as Christ's body. Remember, the essence of our vision is God-centeredness. And God-centeredness is not actually our default. Our default is usually man-centeredness. So the seven core practices actually help us to be God-centered. And number two, it is our intentional way of keeping our church life to be an organic, relational community rather than programmatic organization. I think it's in some sense inevitable. The church has become much organized, and not to mention mega churches, which is really well-oiled machine that running smoothly, and the people who are running that kind of church must be so well gifted and skilled, more of an organizational skill. And many of the pastors complain that seminaries do not provide managerial leadership, organizational leadership skills that they need. In some sense, it's inevitable. But I think it's a lot of times it is the throwing the baby with the bath water, throwing the baby out with the bath water. Why is that? Because what it reduced down to is the picture that people have in their mind. What comes to your mind when you think about the word church? What does TV or the newscast provide as imagery? Usually the building with a cross on top, building. Oh, it is the people of God. Church is people. You and I. Okay, if it is people, what practically comes to your mind? It's usually some kind of theater style and looking one word, and then many people are not moving, very passive, just listening. Well, secular world has that too. So it has a concept of some kind of attending a meeting or some kind of a show. The bigger the church is, the multimedia and other things can be provided as well. Although that's inevitable, but if that is the only church life we have, this is not really community. Spiritual community is Acts chapter 2. We will go back to read Romans also too. Biblical portrayed is a lot of one another-ness. Togetherness of interacting, mutually interacting. That's the church. The members of body building the body of Christ. And the head of the church is not a senior pastor. The head of the church is Christ. It's awfully hard to turn that ship around, isn't it? And even for church to maintain the visitors and whatnot, and it's I'm much more sympathetic, having come from that kind of movement as well, to be mindful about the visitors' needs, the guests' needs, and for them to feel this is so comfortable and easy, and not so much of a, you know, high commitment. But what is really the church we've been talking about for 9 messages? When you think about your Thanksgiving gathering, you don't think about attending. Did you attend family Thanksgiving? Were you there? Were you involved? Who did you talk with? And how, what did you share? What were you sharing as a thankful thing? So in our design application, much of that is this number 2 as well. Number 3 reason, it is our practices for fostering spirit dependence and scripture guidance in all things, rather than relying on the latest trends or techniques. Number 4, it is our attempt to follow the multiplication principle of Jesus, focus on a few locally to impact the world globally. There is a saying that if you want to grow a bean sprout, you could expect overnight growth. But if you want to plant oak trees and see the results, you ought to wait 10, 20 years. So beginning of our church planting and our early retreats, we used to see this short story, French short story made into DVD called The Man Who Planted the Trees. I think we need to go back to that, see again. So as we are thinking about these 7 core practices, what we need to have as a background and the backdrop of our thought process is scripture again. So allow me to read Romans 12, verse 3 through 18. This is just a snapshot of the church as a transforming community. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has designed. Okay, verse 4, before verse 4. Allow me to say this. As you're reading this, if you pick only key words, what would that be? What is the imagery that we need to remember as opposed to building with a cross on top or the theater style of people watching somebody performing? Okay? Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Live peacefully with all. This biblical portrait gives us not only images, but feelings, which is the very important aspect of Crossway vision. We don't go to a program. We don't attend an organizational thing or service. We are to contribute to each other, mutually encourage and support and challenge each other. And there is a cost for that, obviously. And one thing we need to remember is Jesus said, there is a wide gate. Many choose the wide gate, which leads to the wide road, like a highway, because it's easy, because it's popular, but it leads to the destruction. Enter through the narrow gate, which leads to the narrow road, which is difficult. This is Jesus' word. But it will lead to the everlasting life. The way of the cross, the last thing we should think of it is that it's easy, convenient. But in consumer-oriented culture, that convenience as that meets my need comes to the first reason for doing for church life. Guess what? The people who are going into the narrow road are not grumbling and this is like so hard. They're actually fighting for joy in God is hard work, but there is a joy. There is a qualitatively different life and joy. To live that out is our vision. That's what transformation looks like. Not by what we do to show off, but the quality of our life and character and our way of life. So here's the first one of number seven core practice. Number one, simple life and ministry. Keep life and ministry simple by proactively arranging them around the organic life and relationships of a transforming home group community. Here is a tangible difference that come out. Crossway, we think of our hub of the church life is not on Sunday morning, but actually on home group community. Why? This is what home group community looks like. Home group community is should I say it a different word? a cell church. C-E-L-L, cell church, the most basic level of church. Or in the spirit of house, underground house church in many house churches in China. Or the book of Acts, chapter 2, the very early church, the people gather as a large group in the temple courts, but day after day, they gather in their houses, in their homes. So I want you to know that our hub is in the home group community. Unless you think that it's a small group, the small group has become a commodity for the megachurch to function, and people are satisfied in that connecting thing. It's far more than that. Our full church life should be lived out at a home group community. What are some of the activities? Starting with shepherding and modeling and mentoring of the home group leaders and the people are emerging as a leaders, and being missional, being sent, God-sent people, living out that, and serving together, doing life together, and apprenticing and sharing leadership. One of the joys that I see right now is when I do Exodus study and resource for leaders, that email list is growing and becoming bigger and bigger, which means many have tried to lead the study, and some of them are actually finding their spiritual gifts. And I actually encourage a few of them, literally, right after the study. I think you have a teaching gift of teaching. You should continue to do more. Some of them tried. It's not your thing, but that is okay. Because the other way of trying your leadership and, you know, the be the miracle thing and the organizational skill and your warmth and your mercy gift will come out. Sharpening one another. When men and women's group gather together, we go much more deeper. Home group community, when you think of a home group community, these words should come out. Simple, countercultural, lifestyle, Christ-centered, deep care and challenge and building up and branching out, and holistic. That is the hub of the church life at Crossway. What about Sunday, church-wide community at Crossway? Do we not care about that at all? No, that's important. But church-wide community, we want to encourage the organic life and transformational culture in each home group. So we want to strip down to the simple way of doing things. Many of us experience, if you have come from a large church or you're continually involved and you're burnt out, why is that? There's so many events, so many meetings, so many functions that you need to go to because large church, the church-wide community offers so many things. And you're trying to do communal life with your small group or couples group, men's group or women's group. So there are four things that we will do, continually do, to only try to continually consolidate and keep it so simple. One, all church gatherings, like coaching and training, and church retreats, all church retreats in July, June, usually. And then secondly, children and student ministries. Why? Home group setting. Of course, we exchange childcare and whatnot. There's not much could really expect. And a lot of home group house churches in China suffer because of that. And that's a very known fact. We want to continually be intentional and seek after the intentional fostering of teaching our children and training our children. And student ministry as well. Number three is holistic missions. So we want to do missions work together, not separately. So it's much more effective as well as efficient as we're supporting focus on three missionary families. And number four is Sundays and retreats. We'll continue to do that. Sunday's purpose is basically providing sound teaching, expositional preaching, spiritual direction as the Church of Christ that unifies the entire home group communities. Because we want to be continually guided. Spiritual guidance means that sound theology and doctrine will be very important for us. I still remember the beginning of our church planting. One of the well-meaning couples said, "Pastor Paul, I thought simple means easy, but why is it so difficult?" And let me just say that simple does not mean easy, but it is rather cost of arranging life and ministry to be God-centered. Let me give you the illustration. Some of you ran a marathon, and I know some of you will go the 5K country running or whatever that is, right? But you need to be trained. I'm thankful for David who actually sent out this elaborated email about how we should be all trained. And talking to some of my friends who want to run the upcoming marathon, and one of my friends actually made it to Boston too, and there are so many things that he simplified. Give up. Go to sleep early, get up early, and don't go to these functions much at all. And cut out some things that he in his diet. All that, simplifying. And if you ask me, he's choosing a simple life, it must be easy. No, it looks so very difficult. But because he knows the taste of joy in running a marathon and do well, he would gladly take that simplification of his life. In the same way, what we're trying to do is not spreading our life so thin, wide. We do so many things, and there is no margins in our lives, but inch deep. We want to simplify our lives so that we could be centered on God. Revolve our life around transforming activities that God gave us as the church. That's the whole idea. So if you have so many hobbies and your kids do so many extracurricular activities, obviously it will be so difficult to even get involved, men's group or woman's group or home group community. In essence, giving up those things and simplifying is actually surrendering our bodies as a living sacrifice to God to see real transformation. Let me say this. We ought to do this by joy, fighting for joy in God. So there are brothers and sisters who are coming in or who are not convinced yet. We need to allow much, much grace for them. But as far as the people who I say, this is my church, I'm going to jump in, delve in, we are to own that vision. We need to be the benefactor of that joy and live it out rather than become passive and become a beneficiary of that. What is our aim in all this? It is to keep the church relational and organic rather than programmatic and organizational. This is at the heart of our church. And I will be the first person to admit it's not easy. But I will be the first person who would enthusiastically raise my hand, is it worth it? I would not do any other way. For 6 years, God has given me the joy, the kind of joy that I feel like the Christ in me and I in him is happening. Before that, it was always a back burner. After all this, I'll get to become more Christ-like. I'll work on my character. I'll cultivate my depth with Christ. I'll pursue God with all the good things, the pastoral ministry. So would you embrace this as we go forward as a Crossway community? The more joy you share, not fake, share with others, the more our community will become attractive. Number two, deep mutual care and challenge. Cultivate both deep care and deep challenge mutually as transformational group culture. The key word is both. So some community might have a deep care. There's a lot of caring, a lot of affection, a lot of grace is applied. But as much as in human relationships, if there is no challenge, if that relationship becomes enabling. If we really care for our children, instead of doing everything for them, gradually we need to challenge them to tie their shoes on their own, to clean up their room on their own. And I'm learning as, you know, two teenage boys now and the younger boys coming, the value of even cleaning that room. They have improved so much. In the beginning, I had to do all over again. Nowadays, the people are coming over home group time. Okay, we're going to, you know, starting this time, we're going to clean up together and you will ask for inspection. Because without inspection, they think that they did everything, right? But sometimes they didn't do right. They goofed around. But sometimes I walk into that room is, wow, they are really capable. I cannot believe they did this. So clean. And then I will say, I should keep my mouth shut, but can you guys keep it like this every day? In the same way, we are to, if we truly love each other, we not only give affection and grace and mercy, but we are to challenge our people, sharpen. Open rebuke is better than hidden love, Proverbs says. On the other way, the other around, sometimes we could be just challenging and become a drill sergeant because we have, some of us, trained ourselves better in some spiritual disciplines and whatnot. Forgetting about grace and forgetting about affection, forgetting about people need time. So both are important. Transformational culture comes from deep care and deep challenge. One is missing, it will not be transformational culture. That was the picture of Romans 12, Acts 2. In this, our aim is to pursue real transformation and spiritual maturity. Not a country club. Number three core practice is missional community. Be God's sent people to the world by living life in Jesus' way and by reaching out with the gospel locally and globally. I think in the near future, I mean, even next week, I'm going to revisit this again. I think one thing we need to refocus and re-emphasize again is that we need to be outward focused. Just because we're pursuing real transformation doesn't mean that we're comfortable about just the smallness of it or being with one another and no strangers around. And once again, that's not the church. That will be the country club. Being missional also means holistic. It is not just about the verbal evangelism, although it is a part of it, very important part of it. It is the reaching out to the poor and to the marginalized, to the people who cannot speak for themselves. We are to be the little Christ to them. I am so encouraged. Some of our people became passionate about those people who are outsiders, praying for the church family members who are not saved. I remember Dermot and Lisa going to a church in nearby their house, to food pantry, to just serve there and invite others. I remember others who are involved in sponsoring children through World Vision or Compassion, and others who are became passionate about trafficking, human trafficking issue. We are to be missional community. By the way, January, the welcome team will help us to rally that again. The January, we decided to call it a Friends Month, which means there is not a one single Sunday that was specifically like, you know, typically the anniversary Sunday, we invite others, right? It becomes an event. Whole month, you pick a day. Let's pray during the December and the beginning of the year. Maybe some of our friends will willing to check out a church. We invite others, and we call it a Friends Month because we want to continually become outward focused. That's part of practice that we need to involve together. Our aim in this is to live out with God's mission for the world, global world. Number four, plurality of leadership. Lead synergistically and biblically, but not politically, pursuing collective strength of wisdom and accountability as biblical discernment. Let me mention quickly that our elders are not business leaders. And actually, what the qualification of elders in Titus and 1 Timothy, we are looking for, and we ought to be concerned about spiritual leadership as a foremost qualification of the church leaders. In that sense, we don't use the word deacons here, but typically team leaders, all the team leaders are servant leaders at all levels. And our aim in this is to serve and lead together as God's family. Number five, apprenticing and mentoring. Practice apprenticing, mentoring as a lifestyle. Starting within home group communities, mostly without any titles, positions, or even using the words apprenticing and mentoring. And if you are a young mom, you would love to have others who have trotted the way ahead to not only help your motherhood, but training in godliness during those seasons of very difficult time and sleeplessness. How do you handle that? And then you have trodden it before. You have gone that way before. You encourage the person to spend 5 minutes during baby's nap time. And you're a man, not because you know better, but because you have learned to trust God in certain ways. And if it's finance, help others to trust. Get together. And once again, we're not going to designate these are the mentors and these are the mentees or mentorees, and you pick. No, everyone becomes mentors in some sense and apprentice in some sense without the titles. And that happens, should happen. Some great things is a men's group, women's group. I get to have access to those email, group emails. Those things are somewhat happening. Well, some of us need to be more bold and reaching out to others. And by the way, I'm lonely these days at quiet time training. Isaiah is difficult. One of the mentoring should be just encourage others to come together. But don't do it for me. Don't do it for yourself. Our aim in this is to have an every member ministry, which means every member has ministry. Should have ministry. Number six, organic leadership development. Develop and empower home group leaders, homegrown leaders, through sharing leadership tasks and responsibilities of home group communities. This is a principle from 2 Timothy 2:2. But in the presence of many, these things that I've taught you, Apostle Paul would say, entrust them to a few faithful men and women. In turn, they will be able to teach others also. It's called a spiritual multiplication. We have outside leaders. The children's ministry, God has sent them. But vast majority of our future leaders will be homegrown. That's our aim and that's our goal through this organic leadership development. And our aim in this is to multiply effective spiritual leaders. Think about this. For us to send Bo and Cindy to all the way to East Asia, to reach the unshared people, unreached people group. That's makes us our heart beat faster. Because that's at the heart of God. Of course, we're looking at each other and it takes us slow, but one that you're helping with and training with might be able to reach thousands more than we can never reach. So let's believe what the Lord Jesus did with 12, that he didn't travel much, he didn't even write a book, but his impact continues to multiply even to this day. The seventh and last one is building up and branching out, multiplying to multiply transforming communities through building up and branching out home group communities. So our home group community is larger than typical small groups because it is the full-blown church, right? So 20 or 30, depending on house, the host families, our host houses. And the church plants, 300, 400, you know, those are the kind of general numbers that I thought about. The key idea is to keep it happily disorganized. Why? Because when the church size grows more than 300, 400, 500, becomes large church, and when you become a large church, you need to hire outside staff, and then you continually need to organize in the way, the managerially, and it becomes an organizational thing again. So this phrase came from the Mother Teresa movie, and then actually she wanted to go back to the old ways because of all these meetings at hotels and that she was doing, and because I wanted to be happily disorganized. And that's what organic process of transformation looks like. So I'm not sure we could even get to that number. But when we do, you could hold me accountable. We want to continually plant the church almost like, when you have your children growing up and you send them to another house, that kind of thing. So our constant focus must be outward focus. We don't meet here. We don't gather like this because we like smallness for sake of smallness. We have to continually keep in mind that we want to expand God's kingdom. So that if you really love someone, there must be another room, another space for my loved one, your brother, your sister, your father. The process may be slow. Maybe this is the reason why I forgot, right? But I'm not feeling well. That's another reason. The oak tree thing is happening. So our aim in this is to reach the world as our obedience to Christ. We might do very small things. Our picture and the spectrum is a global impact in God's glory, with God's glory, and in God's kingdom. These are the seven things that we ought to practice continually. And may God help us and give us the fruit of our ministry in the coming years. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our church, and thank you for this series. We still make so many mistakes, and even the seven core practices that as we are practicing, I think we could have done it in a better way and better with much more maturity. But without your mercy, God, we would have given up. So thank you for your encouragement. I pray for each one of us in this room who are hearing this message and embracing the vision of Crossway. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you will encourage, enlarge their hearts, and rekindle our passion to live out the vision that you've given us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.